Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, March 19, 2024. As soon as I started talking, one of my dogs turned around and looked at me like, again? You're going to say those words again? You're going to talk to those? I am, Georgie. That's how it's going to go. Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, March 19, 2024. I hope your week is off to a great start. And that you had a nice weekend in the rear view mirror. I did. I had a nice rear view mirror. I have a nice rear end, if you're asking. Caked up. Monday, this evening, so today is Monday when I'm actually recording this. I had a whole day with my daughter because she goes to a school that we pay for that has a lot of days off. And wouldn't the cynic think that that is intentional? Well, I'm not cynical. This is Mr. Blue Sky. But it does seem like the girl has a lot of... her teachers get a lot of professional growth. Let's put it that way. A lot of days for the teachers to keep working and the kids to be home. In any case, my daughter and I had the whole day with each other. I rearranged my day to accommodate her, as the superstar father does. And this morning, she didn't want to go. I will be candid with you. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to be candid. I'm going to be honest. She did not want to go, but she went anyway with me to my first doctor's appointment in the state of California. Clap it up. Thank you very much. We are paying out of our own pockets to Kaiser Permanente. We have a humble insurance plan that we are paying for at Kaiser Permanente, which I thought was supposed to be like CCCP, Soviet era medicine. A big bureaucratic slog with less than diplomatic immunity, with less than stellar physicianry, with jank options. And thus far, I have to tell you, it has been perfect. It's been very easy. Hi, welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast, brought to you by Kaiser Permanente. I've experienced two Kaiser things. Today, I had a checkup. And a couple months ago, I got a flu and COVID shot. I think I probably mentioned, since I know you're clamoring to know more about my immunity. It's super easy. It's also 12 minutes. Everything in San Diego is 12 minutes. It's interesting. The comedy clubs in Atlanta and Limerick, for that matter, everything was 12 minutes away. Maybe I just have a 12-minute mentality. Maybe they're a lot shorter or a lot longer, but I just think of everything as taking about 12 minutes because 10 doesn't seem like enough. 15 seems like too much when I say it out loud. In Atlanta, the punchline, maybe less than 12 minutes to my house. Laughing Skull Lounge, 12 minutes from my house. Limerick Junction, going strong, I'm told, under the tutelage and guidance of Luke Bentley, 12 minutes. And here in, over the weekend, by the way, it's 80 degrees, everybody around the world in San Diego. Here in sunny San Diego, everything else seems to be 12 minutes away. Comedy Store in La Jolla is more like 20, but the club's downtown, 12 minutes away. And my daughter's school, more like 15. But the doctors, it's just 12-minute fascinating. I'm the 12-minute man, bro. Fascinating that... Actually, in my head, I wanted to use the word fascinating to say, to thinking like, boy, this is probably really fascinating to the listener, especially those former prosecutors in Central Jersey. I went to the physician with my daughter today. Why did I go? Because he could go. Oh, is that Howard Cosell or Chris Berman doing an impression of him? Afternoon coffee in. I have not been to the physician, to the doctor, since I moved here, which is like 7 months ago, 6 or 7 months ago. You recall from listening a year ago, it turns out I drank the night before I had my blood drawn, so then didn't I have to take off like 3 months? It's like... Or maybe a month, like sure seemed like 3 months. from drinking to go get a clear blood draw, clear panel or something like that. I talked about this on the podcast. Last year, I drank the night before I had my blood drawn, and apparently more than I should have, because it skewed the numbers, and then I had to take off a month or something like that until I could get in there fresh as a daisy and get retested, and everything was roses. Well, I certainly did not want to endure the horror of that this time around. So I made an appointment without getting my blood drawn. The way it works at this Kaiser Permanente thing, you have a doctor's appointment, and then he's like, "Oh, did you fast?" And I said, "No, nobody told me to do that." And he's like, "All right, we'll come back any day and we'll do your labs easy peasy, mac and cheesy. We have a blood draw. This is part of big, I'm sure, private equity backed medicine, Kaiser Permanente. Just come back and anytime, just walk in, they'll draw your blood and you'll be on your way." So what did he do exactly? Well, he listened, he probed, he asked some questions. They took my blood pressure and my heart rate and pulse are terrific because of the yogging. Talked about diet, the drinking. They've really raised the bar, lowered the bar for being successful at that. Because at intake, the woman said, "Okay, do you smoke? No. Vape? No. Whatever else? How much do you exercise per week? And X, Y, and Z." And then when drink, she says, "Do you drink alcohol?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "All right, do you ever drink more than 5 drinks a night?" And I really don't do that. So I said, "No. I mean, this isn't Limerick, and even at Limerick, I wouldn't have 5." But she said, "Okay," and moved on. So that's apparently at Kaiser Life. Well, that's Kaiser. So it's like, we understand you're going to want to have 4 to 5 a night just because, you know what? We're Kaiser. We grind too, and we're a little worse for the wear in the morning. Just let us know if you have ever gone over 5, if you tend to go over 5. And I said, no, I didn't. My daughter didn't want to go with me to this appointment this morning. She wanted to stay with her mom. And I was like, it turns out mom was kind of under the weather herself, but the plan was the daughter and I would just go. The more experience she gets to seeing parents in the medical setting, the more comfortable she'll become. So I was like, no, girl, you're coming with me. I need you to hold my hand in case I get a shot. And I don't know if she's leery of the doctor's office because she knows there are shots there. She's leery of the big machinery in the institution, like her father is, or she doesn't like the idea of her dad maybe being sick and banged up and needing help and in danger. Or let's really put the reason in there. She'd prefer to spend time with her mom over anybody else in the world. In any case, we went there. She wasn't really feeling it, but by the time we're in the car, moving down the hill, we're ready to go. And it was great. Easy check-in. There's a guy like, "Hey, you need some help?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've never been here." What I really want to do, dear listeners, I want to get into this doctor's office and I want to get into the Kaiser system and then have them refer me to a dermatologist. That's my real opportunity. I need to see a dermatologist because of my skin, my Irish complexion, and growing up in Southern California, I took some hits and I've had skin cancer. So that's really what I wanted to do. The guy thinks I'm in good shape, and then we'll do some blood tests. So that was my morning, and it was going to be like past. It was we were going to do COVID. My wife and I were going to do COVID today, COVID parenting, where we each would take the girl for 3 hours and then pass back and do what we had to do, that sort of thing. But today it was all dad, because I rearranged my schedule because I could, and B, it turns out my wife was a little under the weather. Though now, they are at. My daughter has a nice fucking life. They're at gymnastics. My wife literally got out of bed to take her to gymnastics because she wanted to get out of the house, and my daughter wanted her to take her. When the nurse and she's not a nurse, the person doing the intake and the blood tech, she might be a nurse's aide or nurse's tech or something like that, but I don't think she rises to the ranking of a nurse. She said, "Oh, daddy's babysitting today." And I was like, I don't think we're supposed to call it that, but yeah, it is. No, I'm parenting, lady. This is, this happens now. I'm dragging the old girl to the doctor with me. Now that I think about it, the Chobani twins probably, well, we'll see how this goes. Probably will come bursting through that door in 20, 30 minutes or something like that, and we'll see where we are with the podcast. When I say my daughter has a great life, I did whatever, and I did not get any. I did get one needle, and my daughter, so sweet, held my hand, talked to me. She's 5. She said, "Dada, it's okay. You're gonna be okay. It's just gonna feel a little pinch." She's telling me what the nurse intake person should be telling me. I got a tetanus shot, like it's 1930. I probably have had one recently. I got one. My arm is sore. Throw that in with the rest of it. Afterward, though, in the spirit of the guy says, "Yeah, you sounds like your lungs good, heart seems good, you got your colon done 3 years ago, or whatever. We'll get the blood, but you seem to be good to go." I'm like, great, let's go have brunch. My daughter and I went to a fancy brunch place, and she had cinnamon. This is a Monday from this is a Monday at 10 a.m. for my daughter. She has cinnamon, like orange sugar and cinnamon. I'm blanking. Who cares? Pancakes. Cinnamon and something orange pancakes. And I have eggs, toast, and a side of bacon. The pancakes were in a cup of coffee, black coffee. It was a celebration where you go to the doctor and it's like, "Oh, it doesn't seem like you're dying. Great, let me go ingest a bunch of shit that will accelerate that process." So then my daughter and I have a nice big brunch. They give her something to crayons to play with. We're having a nice time. We have a lovely lunch. I've been to this place in my neighborhood twice. I get the same server every time. She is incredibly kind, sweet. Seems like she might smoke weed. She seems pretty blissed out, which I'm happy for her, of course. She is the world's most attentive server until the food is delivered to your table, and then you never see her again. And you just have to know that. And I still tip her. The choices are on your card machine 28, 36, or 97%. I always tip her anyway because she's so sweet. And we did, parents, let me know your thoughts on this with a 5-year-old. We're building, establishing, furthering, pushing boundaries, expanding boundaries. I said, "Okay, I'm gonna go to the loo and take a pee after we ordered. My daughter's gonna stay here at the table." She's 5. She's not 3, but she's also not 7. She's 5, which means she should be able to stay there by herself, occupy with crayons. She's not 3, and she's gonna pull everything off the table, or 2, and she's gonna pull everything off the table, or waddle out of the restaurant. She knows what to do. So I said, "I'm gonna go to the restroom," and I said to the server, "Hey, just FYI, I'm gonna go to the restroom." And she said, "Oh yeah, I'll be around. I got her, no problem. It's great. I'll breastfeed her if you want. I'm 19, but I'm kind of an earth mother, hippie chick type." I'm like, all right, we'll fucking breastfeed her too. She's 5, lady. Then it's just events. That's all we do, events. Then we come home, we give my wife the rest of the pancake. She certainly pops out of bed for that. Delicious. And then what do my daughter and I do? We go to the San Diego Zoo, where we are members. We're annual members. So we just breeze right through the lines of school children and tourists and military members, military families. And we just, that reminds me, you know, it's fun to go to the zoo with cholos. It's fun to listen to cholos at the park. at the zoo, or I imagine the safari park, because they talk to the animals like you imagine them talking to their boys. What's up, fucker? Hey, fool, how you do? Hey, big dog. That's how they talk to hippos, and it's pretty funny. You're my brother from another. And then we walked around the zoo for like 2 hours, came home, and then the Chobani twins went to gymnastics. Pretty lively Monday for a. Is she spoiled? Tell you what, she hit me up numerous times across our journey at the zoo. Maybe an hour and a half at the zoo. Maybe not quite 2 hours. She will hit you up at the gift stand. Looks like a lot of kids are doing it. Mom, what do you think? Dad, oh my God, I got to show you this. I always wanted this thing that you'd never seen in your life before until just now. Oh, do you think we can get like a some refreshment? It's just about acquiring for children. And you know what she acquired on that trip to the zoo? Probably resentment of her father because I did not get her anything. Okay, there, hard-ass parents. I stood strong. I did not give in. I did not reward. You know what I did most of the time? I spun. As opposed to, if you say, we'll see or maybe, you're fucked. You have to say no. Just be definitive and say, no, we're not going to do that. No, not today. You don't even have to say maybe next time. Or you say, because if next time, they'll say, hey, remember 6 weeks ago you said that we could get that chocolate covered banana with the nuts on it down by the gorilla enclosure 6 weeks ago? And you're like, fuck, I just taught her the meaning of the word flake and I don't want to be that. But I stood strong. Did not get a refreshment. We did not get an icy. We did not get a stuffed polar bear. We did not, and the zoo makes it hard. At every turn, here's a new sensational thing to get your kid's head. Well, today it did not work. And by spinning, by saying no definitively, or, you know what, girl, someday we'll get all of them. Would you like that? Would you? When I say spin, I mean be squirrely and elusive and pivot out of. I don't mean like spin it in the negative into a positive. But I would say, like, oh, girl, I would love to. Why don't we bring lunch someday? Why don't we, you know what? We'll get there's look, they have beer over there. They have cotton candy here. Let's just, would you like to get it all? And then, like, get all the stuffed animals? And not in a passive aggressive, do you want it all? There are a couple parents in that place. I heard one mom say to her husband, what do you want from me? The zoo, enjoy your vacation. She goes, the kids are in charge. What do you want from me? My daughter is just looking like, whoa, somebody's about to get blowtorched. You just say, like, well, yeah, we'll get everything. But in the ultimate moment, I'm not being passive aggressive and saying, we can get whatever you want. Fine, we'll get whatever you want. Or I don't know how you do the passive aggressive thing. I just say, yeah, girl, why don't we just come someday and, like, we'll get every stuffed animal we can find. We'll get ices. We'll blow it out. And she's like, well, I don't want to do that. She says, I don't want to do that. She doesn't say, well, I don't want to do that. She says, I said, does that sound good? And she said, no. I said, why? And then she said, because we won't appreciate it. And I was like, fucking hey, these messages are getting in there. If you get everything all the time, if you get whatever you want, if you stop looking at your phone, stop looking at the little red lights bumping into your eye saying, you're liked, you're valued, you're attractive, as the dopamine is firing in your head, you'll enjoy more of what you currently have. I really believe that. Largely been out of the news. I told you that. And it's, I sleep better. I breathe better. I have better checkups. She said that. She said, well, then we won't appreciate it as much. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, girl. I almost forgot to mention the doctor was from Georgia. The doctor grew up, which is a little, a couple things. is a white male. Uncomfortable. I do not, I told you before, I've told you on the last podcast, my doctor in Atlanta was an Indian woman. I'd like to replicate that. This guy, this is like me. I don't want that. I know what kind of student I would have been in medical school. I would have been a student that would have done exactly what was required and not one fucking thing more to become a doctor. Whereas my Indian doctor, I know she took her medical school training in some jank country in the middle of the ocean somewhere. And I don't mean jank country. I mean jank medical school in some smaller country in the middle of the ocean. Not India. In any case, he's a white man who's maybe 40 years old. He's from Georgia. You know what I mean? When he's like, oh, I'm from Georgia. I'm like, oh, because he saw my record from Piedmont Healthcare. You know, there are like places where you kind of are known for medicine, right? And this is just a bias and stereotype about the South, but he didn't say like, oh yeah, I'm from Boston, which, you know, so you associate with the best hospitals in the world. Or he didn't say I'm from Geneva, where I imagine they have good hospitals. He's like, oh no, I'm from Georgia. But then he said, I went to Emory undergraduate. And I was like, fuck yeah, okay. He's a smart cookie who was disciplined enough in high school to keep eye on the prize and not fuck up, and got into Emory, which is a great, great school. And so then we talked, and we lived. He said he lived in Far Road. Anybody in Atlanta, you know where Far Road is. I live south of Far Road, you know, a couple miles probably. But he lived off Far Road. We knew everything in common. I said, you know, he's like, are you a Falcons fan? I said, no, I'm not. He's a lifetime Falcons fan. Anyway, it's not really going anywhere. But we lived in, I think he said he came out here in 2018. He went to Emory undergraduate. And he went to, here's how you know he's a doctor that I'm comfortable with and not just some dude from Georgia. He went to Emory. And then he said he went to medical school. I think he said medical school or grad school at UT. Now, most people around the country would think of UT as University of Texas. But because they're rednecks, people in the South, well, and it's also geographically close, when they hear UT, they think University of Tennessee. So when he said UT, I was like, get it? UT, I was like. He said he went to UT. I was like, all right, man, I know we both spent some time in the South, but when you say UT, and he goes, oh, Texas, absolutely. No, 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 no. Like I went to school, not Tennessee. The highlight of the zoo was my daughter saying, because their kids can be like pigeons. Or homeless people. Like, if you give them a little, they never stop coming back. You know what I mean? The highlight was close to her saying, no, well, then we wouldn't appreciate it. The highlight were the hippopotamuses. They're awesome. And I need to do more research, but hippopotamus, they look and move like they're mammals, but they're just cruising around underwater like they're whales or fish. I don't think they have blowholes. And maybe it was exciting because there were two of them and they were moving around. And candidly again, there wasn't a whole lot of movement elsewhere in the zoo. But the hippopotami were great. They were lively and they were kind of bumping into each other and, you know, swimming over to the glass. They were kind of up above and down below. If you're up down below, they swim up to the glass and kind of bump into it. And they're majestic. They're enormous. This is not their natural habitat, by the way. This is like a jacuzzi that they're sitting in. Even the world-famous San Diego Zoo, made more famous by Will Ferrell in Anchorman, it's not their natural habitat. But they're amazing, and we also got like a nice big yawn out of one of them. Like, just this, I can only imagine the pressure. And now I get why people watch YouTube videos of animals killing other animals, because this is a majestic creature with an incredible amount of strength in its mouth, and he opens it all the way, and you can see inside just like two hooks. Just like, it looks like he just has two teeth sticking out of the back of his gum, back of his, your open mouth or whatever that is. And it was great. It was nice. It was a really nice day. And now here I am in the afternoon. The Chobani twins will be back, probably sooner than later. And that was our day. It's a pretty nice life, aside from this comedy enigma in San Diego. But this is what makes it worse, is, oh, what a lovely day. Do I want to go grind? You know what I mean? Like, yes, I have to, but also like, oh, what a lovely day. My daughter went to the doctor with me, then we had brunch. We're living a good life. I know that, okay? I'm grateful for it. I'm not perfectly fulfilled, but I wake up in a good, great mood. Why not? Speaking of people in great moods at a zoo, I don't know how big you celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I am an Irishman, which means I kind of like feel like it's a little bit amateur hour, but I don't, I kind of celebrate it every day. Saturday, after me time, a very, very brief me time, my wife said, let's go to the St. Patrick's Day Festival in Balboa Park. And I said, sure, let's do it. There are only 2 hours left. I think it went until six or something like that. Yeah, it went till six. Again, non-San Diegans, non-Californians, Balboa Park is the Central Park, Piedmont Park, whatever park you want. Those are the two that come to mind, Piedmont Park and Central Park. In San Diego, it's Balboa Park. The zoo is in Balboa Park. That place where the homeless guy screamed at my daughter and her friend, in Balboa Park. That restaurant, Balboa Park. The Spreckles Organ Pavilion, where you can see on YouTube, Drive Like Jehu reunite for a great concert, Balboa Park. Also in Balboa Park, the Fruit Loop. You can look that up too. I believe Bruce Springsteen actually has a song called Balboa Park about the young dudes who would sneak into the country and make a little money servicing wealthier gentlemen in the south end of the park, known as the Fruit Loop. That's why they call it the Fruit Loop, I guess. They have lawn bowling. It's a majestic park. And also welcomes, it's majestic and also embraces Irishness. There is a St. Patrick's Day parade in San Diego in Hillcrest, and I believe it ends in Balboa Park at the festival. Well, we didn't get up and go at 10 a.m. because we had soccer, and my daughter is coming up as a soccer player. She's getting promoted. She's getting promoted to another echelon of her club or organization or whatever it is. We didn't go at 10 a.m., but on Saturday, St. Patrick's Eve, we knew that there was a festival happening in the park. And I kind of got to this place in my head. You tell me what you think, psychologists. My somewhat queasiness or the idea of going to a fucking drunken smash off in the middle of a park on St. Patrick's Day, which is the ultimate amateur hour. Just sounds nauseating, but then over time I kept, because we had a lovely time when we finally went. I was wondering, is that because of how I was when I was amateur hour and young and didn't know how to act around people? And I was tripping, like, does the reason I conjure the idea of, here we go, St. Patrick's Day, brace for a bunch of drunken idiots, is that because I was a drunken idiot when I was a younger man, when I wore a younger man's clothes? I don't know. When we were walking in, one guy was walking out, and the woman who, like, took tickets and stood at the gate, they both were calling each other fucking assholes. So it wasn't totally unfounded that I might not want to be there. In any case, I didn't let on to my wife because I'm father husband. I'm not going to be like, no, I don't want to go. It's just going to be. But what I'm thinking, she's like, oh, there's 2 hours left. What I'm thinking is, oh, that's the best time. Yeah, let's go to the end of the St. Patrick's Day parade. How fun will that be? But I didn't say it. And I said, we all got green on. I said, let's go over. Let's give it a shot. Let's go look at the very least, look at some drunk people in cages. Because, you know, it's one of those things where they fence the park so you can't take a beer out of there because, you know, Lord knows you can't handle it. And it's supposed to be $10 a person to get in. But because the woman is screaming fucking asshole at the guy who's leaving, by the way, and then she's done, she turns to me and she goes, hello, happy St. Patrick's Day. And I said, thank you so much. We would like to come in. And if you don't mind, I'd like you to call me a fucking asshole too. And then she's like, oh my God, he was drunk. I couldn't believe it. Come on in. And we didn't have to pay. You know what I mean? I kind of have a touch for little weaselly things like that. And I don't know if it's weaselly. Would private equity call it weaselly? No. They would buy up St. Patrick. They'd buy Ireland and sell it back to you two. We went in. My daughter immediately goes to the music stage where they're playing and, you know, like an original here, an Irish song there, a Pogues cover there. I go buy tickets. So we got in for free. I go buy tickets to get beer, which is a good idea because then you just hand the tickets to the beer person who keeps you moving. How much was the beer? Conjure. Guinness, Harp, and something else. How much was a beer at this Irish festival? Take a guess. In San Diego, which is so expensive, but guess how much a beer was? $8. That seems reasonable. It also seems like what a pint of beer might cost. A pint of Guinness might cost $8 at Limerick, for all I know. I had a Harp. My wife had a Guinness. We danced, frolicked to the Irish music. My daughter was freaking out, excited with her Irishness. She has a big Irish shamrock covered shirt dress thing that she wears. I don't talk about it a lot on here, and I feel like it's because I live it rather than have to memorialize it. I connect with my Irish ancestry, and I think she might start doing some Irish dance and karate. She has big plans. And it's just whatever. Just whatever the child wants, the child gets. Unless it's at the zoo and dad's staying strong. There were drunk people there, but there was no belligerence. This isn't Boston, you know? There was no belligerence. There wasn't anybody throwing up on each other. There were some pretty smashed and faded people, but everyone was having a good time. So as I'm walking around, and maybe it was because it didn't necessarily seem like a lot of bros. Bros kind of fuck things up, don't they? Don't we? In packs? It seemed like everybody was older than 30, or the majority of people seemed like they were over 30. And I tell you, like when I went to those concerts earlier this year, No Knife and the Dragons, You go to alcohol-related events with old people? It's fucking great. Because they know how to move. They don't act like idiots. They don't act like a bunch of 24-year-olds at a Padre game who've never been outside before, who are furious that they just had to spend $19 on a warm draft beer, and they're on angel dust. Go to alcohol-fueled events with people 35 and over, and it's dramatically different. Young people listening to this, wait till you're in a, you know, bars can be kind of stressful because people are bumping into each other and spilling beers, and that guy bumps into your lady and you're going to have to say something, and then beer gets spilled over here and what the fuck, and you know how that can kind of grate on you if you do it enough. As you get older, you're going to find yourself among people in crowds of people who know how to do it. They know how to carry a beer. They understand that the guy coming this way is talking over his shoulder, so they're going to get out of his way. They're going to not take a charge like they would in basketball and blow the whole thing up. They just know how to move. And that maybe was characteristic of that festival on Saturday. There are also plenty of kids. They have jumpy houses and jumpy houses and Frozen shit. Frozen the movie, that is. And there was none of the, I guess, maybe it's San Diego, maybe it's the fact this is not Boston or Chicago or New York or Philly. One of those, just let's all get as fucking shitty as we can and then kind of ruin it for a lot of people or other people, and then maybe getting locked up or knocked out. And when that never arrived, I was like, maybe I'm just trying to elude, or maybe I'm trying to outrun my past. Been very, very reflective here the last week. First with that whole violation of trust thing. Did you check out any of those documentaries? But I was wondering, am I just trying to get away from who I thought I was at that age? And knowing that maybe I'm looking at my 22-year-old self projecting forward, like, if I were me now, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that guy. I don't know. Or you're like, no, dude, Irish people are fucking, or amateur hour bro Irish people is really what I'm talking about, who think they are, more of a man than they are. There are pains in the ass. I don't know. Whatever it was a lovely afternoon. We were there for an hour and a half. Left, came home, and we did not have corned beef and cabbage. My wife and daughter combined to actually make, my daughter is the sous chef, we call her, a big pasta dinner. I know, we don't always eat Italian, but we did that night. My wife and daughter make the meatballs. My daughter and I went shopping that morning. We got some beef, some sweet Italian sausage. They actually made the meatballs with the breadcrumbs. And the pasta and tomato sauce was delicious. And then my wife and I, Saturday evening, we enjoyed or watched a little bit of some tennis show. The proliferation of scared straight schools that I was talking about last time. You know, there are these they're not really documentaries. They're advertisements for the sport. Like, I know there was one about Formula One or Tottenham Hotspurs or Arsenal or the Six Nations rugby tournament. Something about the Chiefs. They're just kind of infotainment, right? They're ads essentially masquerading as documentaries. Because no one's feet are being held to the fire. There's nothing being exposed. It's all to promote whatever it is. Any case, we went to the tennis tournament out there in Indian Wells, which, by the way, I mentioned to someone else, and they're like, oh, fucking snazzy movie star. Zendaya. They said Zendaya was there, and I said, I didn't say this. I don't think that's how you say your name, but But I also don't know who that is. I know it's a famous person, but and I used to hear open mic comics talk about her. Apparently she was out there. Oh fuck! I told you I went to that tennis match? You know who was there? I totally forgot. So tennis, Rich, Douchey, whatever. In the same stadium. And by the way, much better seats. Bill Gates was there when we were there. Yeah, Gates. Gates and I were in the same stadium. We were in different seating sections, no doubt. And I got a good laugh. I made a joke to, they showed him on the big screen. And here comes a dog. They showed him on the big screen, and the people sitting next to us were like, "Oh, where is he?" And I said, "Oh yeah, he's a couple rows up from us." And they went, "Ha ha ha ha!" I was in the same place as Gates. More good stuff to come. I'm gonna jump here because I actually got this thing done before the Chobanis are gonna come through the door, which could happen at any minute. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to talking to you on Friday, with more to offer than simply a one-day recap of my life. However, I have a great goddamn life. I'm trying to just, do the deal. Here come the Chobanis, actually. Bye. Talk to you on Friday.